Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
No noon hour has ever started with a bigger splash than this one. We bring in, it's fair to say, one of our absolute favorites, the wonderful and talented Paul Feinbaum. Paul, it's been a very long time. We appreciate a couple minutes here.
Dave, thank you. And I don't want to dim the mood, but I can't tell you how moved I was a couple of weeks ago, now a couple of months ago, reading about your dad and your relationship with him. It was it reminded me of my own dad, who I lost at an early age, and I just I'm so sorry to hear about it. But it was also so inspiring to read.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and we had a great relationship. And the article for Mike Vaccaro was sensational, and your sentiments are greatly appreciated. So thank you very much for that. Lot to get into today in the world of college football. Canty, I know I was going to ask you about the Heisman Trophy, so I'll
yeah, no, yeah, I'm ready. I got 10 candidates, all from UVA.
but I guess we'll start out here, and I'm sure Dabo's going to be a topic as well. The restart of college football. I mean, it feels, and correct me if I'm wrong, like there are certain institutions which are like, you know, Ohio State. Oh yeah, we're going to be back. You know, 50,000 people, full force, and then Michigan that says, you know, to the effect of, I mean, we're not sure that we're going to play a season. Is it like team wide? Is it Mark Emmert that's going to ultimately decide? Is it conference by conference? Like, who's the ultimate decision maker for college football?
You know, it's so interesting. You know, down the street from you, you got the commissioner of the NFL, and you know he runs that place. You know, with the consideration and consent of 32 multi-billionaires. In college football, nobody is in charge. Mark Emmert really doesn't have much say. So he's the president of the NCAA, but the NCAA only has jurisdiction over the rules of college football. They don't have jurisdiction over the actual playing of it, and especially the college football playoff, which is operated by, and here's the answer, the five college commissioners of the big conferences. So they ultimately will decide. It's going to be, it's a lot easier to discuss today than 2 months ago when it didn't look like the Pac-12 was going to show up. Right now, and I use those words very, very carefully, right now, everything seems really good, but, you know, players are showing back up on campus for voluntary workouts. You're getting positive testing. You have a lot of issues out there. And I still don't think we have gotten there yet in the sense of knowing what the season will look like. I think most schools will participate. I think there'll be some outliers, though.
Paul, let me ask you a question. I mean, we're already hearing this. We've been going back and forth over the last couple of weeks with Major League Baseball and their fear that in the fall there's going to be a second wave of COVID-19. I know, you know, back maybe a month or so ago, it was brought up that college football could consider, you know, playing their season in the spring. How come that is something that's kind of gone to the wayside and isn't being talked about? Is that just not a possibility financially? That doesn't make any sense?
It was brought up primarily because I don't think anyone thought the season could get off. I don't need to tell anybody in New York the concerns about this virus, but it's been taken off the table right now because it just didn't really have any chance of working. You can't play college football in South Bend, Indiana, or Ann Arbor, or any place in the Midwest or Northeast in January, February, and even into March. Secondly, you are going to lose an unbelievably large number of the top athletes. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not playing football in March, 5 weeks before he's going number one in the NFL draft. And it also reeked of desperation, and it collided with the college basketball season. I wouldn't say it's totally off the table. I mean, if this thing comes roaring back in October, I'm sure there's a contingency plan, but right now it's very slim.
Paul, I know the focus has been, when are we going to see college football this year? But I got a question for you. How has the pandemic affected these schools being able to acquire talent, the recruiting that happens at the high school ranks? When you don't have the ability to have football camps over the course of the summer, or potentially not having on-campus visits by recruits during the fall, how is that going to affect recruiting?
It's a big deal, and you understand it. I mean, most of the big-name coaches do these camps right now. first week or two of June. And you know, whether they're 8-year-olds or 16-year-olds, that's their legal way of recruiting younger people years in advance. And I think it's going to affect schools. I think one thing you're going to see less of is cross country recruiting, in the sense, like Alabama picked up the top quarterback in the country a couple of months ago from California. That guy may not go to Alabama anymore. He may stay closer to home because nobody, everyone got stuck in early March trying to find a way back home, whether you were in the NBA or in college basketball or any other sport. So I Clemson lost a big-time player from the West Coast not too long ago. So it's created issues. I mean, they are still recruiting as much as you can, but the inability to evaluate to be in high schools in May is really a big deal for college football.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So, and I know you don't have the answer to definitively, of course, but you hear so many differing viewpoints. Do you think when we get to August, late August, September, that the goal is to have at least partial capacity at these stadiums, like Ohio State, 50%, 40%? I mean, is that the goal? Is it realistic to think that around the country we will see these stadiums filled at a minimum of half capacity?
What you're going to see is crowds based on where you are. I think in the Deep South, where, and I say this because I live in the Deep South, the virus is not looked at broadly as seriously, and I know that sounds incredible, as it is in New York or New Jersey or Boston or even in Detroit. So you're going to have governors there dictated by politics and ideology who are going to make things easier. I mean, I live in North Carolina. I still can't go to a gym, which may not sound like anything to New York, but gyms have been open everywhere else in the South for 2 months. Some never closed, as crazy as that sounds. So it's going to be, I think schools are going to be careful. I mean, the University of Michigan president said recently, we're not going to have crowds. And if we don't have students on campus, we may not have football, which leads to a lot of Jim Harbaugh jokes, but it's not funny. He was serious, and this guy's an epidemiologist, and he also said, you know what, if we don't have football, we'll survive. I mean, we got a $2 billion budget, and that's only about 12% of it. So it's going to look different in some places. I predict in Louisiana, you'll have 30 or 40,000 fans. In Michigan and Ohio, you may not. Having said that, the governor of Texas the other day said, we expect 50% capacity. So it's a political game like everything else in this country. I think the real interesting point back to the overriding issue is, what happens when there are outbreaks? Most of the colleges are not going to be as transparent. Alabama had 5 positives when everyone showed back up. The school won't confirm that, but you can relate to this, Chris. What's going to happen toward the end of the season if suddenly a coach finds out he's got a couple of positives on his team, and is he going to quarantine the whole team or the night before the biggest game of the year, or is he going to try to cover it up? And as crazy as it sounds, I mean, we're dealing with life and death here. I wouldn't put it past some of these college coaches to cover it up.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here on the show. Paul, just to veer off track for 1 second, you mentioned the gym. Could you just give me a – because the listeners want to hear this. What does a typical day at the gym include for Paul Feinbaum?
Well, boy, did I open my mouth. I can tell you, until 2 years ago, I never really wasted any time at the gym. I had a bad back, and so I started going to a trainer. So that is my – I mean, I do the same thing people my age do, very little. I put on a nice Nike shirt, and if it's got a drop of sweat on it after an hour and a half, it's a major miracle.
All right, so we got that out of the way. I'd like to give you
– You walked right into that one, Paul.
No,
that was perfect.
I jog. I mean, I win the 90 and above jogging award at my local gym.
I love it. I usually like during these interviews to give you the opportunity to really go after somebody. And I'm waiting to hear this. What were your opinions on how Dabo Swinney handled this whole situation in Clemson?
I think he's handled it really poorly. He took a week before he responded. Originally a week ago he talked about his faith and that was going to help us all get through this, which is great. Who's against faith? And then he came out with this 14-minute video. I will tell you, when I first saw it, I was really angry. I've calmed down a little bit because, he doesn't really address the issues that were raised at the school. And for those who didn't follow the story, an altercation between a coach and a player came up 3 years ago. The player's version was that the N-word was passed back and forth. Dabo's version was that the coach was just trying to tell him by using the N-word that we don't do that here. Any explanation that takes 14 minutes loses so much in the translation. I think it's just it's been a terrible moment for him, and he's a good coach. I mean, he's a great coach. I'm not taking anything away from him. And I think he's also caught up in a situation where you got former players like Deshaun Watson who are speaking out and wanting names taken off of buildings because of the racist past and the pro slavery past of the leaders of that school. So it's bigger than just Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, there's a lot going on at Clemson. It seems like there's a lot going on at Iowa too, Paul, and they just put their head strength coach Chris Doyle on administrative leave. Can you give us more insight about what's going on with that situation?
Yeah, I think Kirk Ferentz, the coach there, he's been there 20 years, is going to have a hard time holding on. Not only are there allegations about the strength coach, who everyone in sports knows is the closest coach to the head coach. I mean, we remember this thing in Maryland a couple of years ago where everyone said, well, he's only the strength and conditioning coach. That's the key guy. The head coach, I mean, you understand that, Chris.
Yep.
It's the go-to guy for every head coach. And it also involves his son. Ferentz's son has been mentioned in some of the allegations. What I take away from all of this is, as crazy as these allegations are, I do think it's a positive that young players in college are being heard from for the first time ever. I mean, you've got autocrats like Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Ferentz, Brian Kelly, maybe the worst I've seen in a long time. And they better be careful because players now are speaking out, whether it's on social media or in other platforms, and some of these guys are not going to survive.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We know the NFL, we're going to have kneeling. A lot of players have come out and said that. The commissioner, kind of got behind the players the other day. College football is different. Do you think that we see forms of protest when eventually we get back to games being played and kneeling during the anthem or some forms of protest from these collegiate players?
Yeah, one thing most colleges don't bring the team out for the national anthem, so they avoid this. But I think you're going to see a lot more of it. I mean, I've watched in the last week, clumsy or not, head coach after head coach in college march with players to register to vote. I had the coach in Arkansas the other night, and he's a good old boy. Okay, he's the head coach at Arkansas, and I said, well, what have you done? And he said, well, I went to a Black Lives Matter meet. I think he was starting to say meeting, and then he caught himself and he said protest. He was challenged to try to really explain it, but I give him credit. These coaches are not used to listening or acquiescing to anything from these players. College coaches are the worst. I mean, everyone talks about Belichick, but, Belichick still has to deal. College coaches don't have to deal until now. And I think this is one of the most important moments in the history of college football. Basketball, it's never really been an issue because it's a looser operation in terms of players the coaches relate to the players a little bit easier. There is only 10 or 11 or 12 in college football. You have 100. So they run them very difficult, with an iron hand. I think that's over now.
Paul Feinbaum joins us on the show. Paul, what the heck is going on with Florida State? I mean, between the Willie Taggart experiment that went horribly wrong, and now Mike Norvell and what went down there. I mean, what's going on with Florida State at the moment?
Well, I think that was really the first time we've seen something like this. What the coach did there was, he lied. I mean, all he had to do was say, I've reached out to my players. He said, I reached out to every player and talked to every player. And no, he didn't. And a player called him on it, and it almost tipped the balance of the program. I think they caught it in time. And I don't know what was under the undercurrent. Maybe some of it had to do with Willie Taggart, who, you know, he was a very popular coach. He was also an absolutely terrible coach. I'm not even sure terrible describe Willie Taggart. back to the point a minute ago. I mean, the idea of a player on a team, I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, would you have done that, Chris? I mean, calling out your coach on Twitter? I mean,
no.
I mean, this is just, I mean, by the way, I say this only to you three guys, as a commentator, this is unbelievable for me. I mean, I love this. I mean, to finally put, I mean, these coaches who you know, will not give anyone the time of day, whether it's the media, whether it's the players, or even their fans are now really under tremendous pressure to walk a different line, and this sport is being turned upside down. And by the way, all of this is before we get to next year, when players are going to start making money off of their name, image, and likeness. I mean, college athletics is going through a period that it's never experienced before.
Yeah, it feels like it's shifting to the player empowerment era of collegiate sports, especially with the revenue producing sports. No doubt about it. Paul, go ahead.
I mean, you're, instead of calling and talking to the publicity people, next year you'd be calling and asking for their agent.
Yeah, that's interesting. Paul, it's being reported that USC is ending their disassociation with Reggie Bush, former running back and Heisman winner. What makes this the right time for that program to take these steps?
I think everything at Southern Cal is about starting over. With one big exception. They have a new president. They have a new athletic director. The only thing they really need is a new football coach, because Clay Helton is a terrible football coach, and he only kept his job last year because there was transition. And they should have gone out and just hired Urban Meyer. Yeah, I mean, as bad a guy as he really is personally, he's also one of the best football coaches of his generation. I think Reggie Bush, because he's on TV now, because he speaks out on issues. A couple weeks ago, he spoke out about his own mistakes. I think it's just a PR deal. It's also 10 years since it all went down. So I think the university feels like it's time to try to, you know, bring everyone back and hopefully get this program off the ground. The only bad news there's two things. They start the season against Alabama, where they will promptly lose by 28 to 35 points. I'll give you a better prediction in a couple of months. And they're still stuck with a guy who's in over his head as the head coach. But beyond that, USC is doing everything well.
All right, Paul, last one from me. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence being the number one college player coming out into the draft after this season. Any chance at all, and I know this is only speculating, that Justin Fields could kind of have a season that could put him up in that same conversation with Trevor Lawrence?
He could. He's good enough. I mean, Justin Fields, by the way, transferred from Georgia where he couldn't start. Joe Burrow couldn't start. I mean, nobody can start anymore. And they all end up the first player taken and Heisman winner. I think Justin Fields reminds me a little bit of Cam Newton in college, who could do everything. That's the unemployed Cam Newton, I might add. I think Ohio State has a shot. They play at Penn State this year, which is a really tough place to be on a Saturday night. But other than that, I think they're in the same platform level with Alabama and Clemson. I think this year it's about those three schools. I know that sounds familiar, he's got a chance. I mean, he could be the first player taken. He could win the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, here we go.
I love it.
Chris, he teed you right up there. Have at it.
Well, I mean, who's going to win the Heisman in 2020, Paul?
You know, I think somebody, you really, I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Fields are the two favorites. Don't rule out Najee Harris from Alabama. He doesn't get a lot of attention, but he's been one of the best running backs that you just don't see him, because Alabama had like three all-world receivers last year. But I think right now those three would be heavily in my book. You always have to hold your tongue on the next Oklahoma quarterback who's a hot shot, whose name is fairly unknown to the public, and I have to admit I can't remember it right now off the top of my head. I mean Trevor Lawrence regressed last year, and he still took his team to the national championship game. So I mean I would say Trevor and Fields are where you have to start there. But there are four or five or six players after that who can easily get into consideration. And I'm glad on the 10th of June, I've had my first Heisman question of the year.
That's right. We're not messing around here. Is Rattler the kid you're talking about at Oklahoma?
Yeah. That's good Googling there.
Yeah. I didn't know him either, but Spencer Rattler. I mean,
the one thing I didn't think I would need to know is the Oklahoma quarterback talking on.
You should have known that coming into this interview of any that you were going to get peppered with Heisman Trophy questions.
Well, I can't tell you how much I've missed you guys.
I think you're sincere when you say that too.
I am. Doing radio in Baton Rouge and Salt Lake City just doesn't compare to this. I mean, I feel like I'm back.
You're back. Listen, we'll have you on every week if you'd like to. We don't want to bother you during the off season.
Hey, well, when I hear from Ray, I know my time is here. But guys, you know, I'm available. I mean, if you want to talk Heisman talk, I can do it 24 hours a day.
Paul, you're the best, man.
Next time, though.
Yep. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon, Paul.
Hey, guys. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Good stuff. That, of course, Paul Feinbaum, the best. He is so entertaining, knowledgeable, and he's terrific, really.
I love how I asked him a question about USC and Reggie Bush, and he proceeds to crush the head coach.
Yeah.
Absolutely crush him.
He really did. He really did.
That's all my favorite part, though. I mean, not only did we get Paul, like, I can just imagine
subtle
him.
Shots all over the place.
But it's not even subtle.
He's as subtle as a gunshot. What are you talking about?
It starts off subtle, and then he has a second to think about it. He's like, no, he's not just bad. He's the worst.
Right. It's like he's digging. Like, the first dig is like, you know, the first shovel full is like, all right, let me just test the ground. All right, soft. And then the second one's like, all right, let's see if we can strike oil here. Tries to go all the way down. He's so funny.
I would love to see him at the gym. Oh God, I would pay good money.
And he handles it well too. You're like, Paul, what is it like when you go to the gym? And he just, you know, he didn't dance around. He's like, listen.
Of all the things that Paul could have brought up that, you know, aren't open where he's at, the gym
right,
being one of them.
I can't get to DMV, right?
I can't get to the gym. Right. It was not going to be the one I thought.
Listen, man, neck exercise is a life or death for Paul Feinbaum. He's got to be able to hold those ears up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
The poor guy.
All right,
he's so
guys.
Good. Take him up on the offer. I want him every week. He's the best.
So let's go.
He's awesome.
Why wait till September? Why not start now with him?
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we could talk about anything with him.
Look, we didn't get into Alabama football. I mean, there's so many things. He's a New York guy. We should schedule him on a weekly.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm all about it.
All right, Rick. I imagine that you're ready as usual.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Servation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Wednesday edition of Knob Observations. And as we like to do on the show, we're going to start off Knob Observations with a live look in at the weather from one Dave Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
All right, I've got the weather, guys. It's balmy again, nice and warm. 79 degrees currently in Westchester. Sun rises early this time of year, 5:20, and sets nice and late, so you have a lot of outside time at 8:26. There is a chance of rain today. Don't be shocked if you see a quick, brief rain shower. 30% is what my sources are telling me. Humidity standing at 55%. Not much of a breeze. Southeast at 9 miles an hour. It's 79, feels like 81. Precipitation up to this point has been zero. The barometric pressure, 29.98. Visibility, good. You could see for miles and miles. 10 miles is the visibility. UV index, you'll get burned out there. It's sitting at 8. Air quality index, 43. And the air quality is considered good.
Oh, well done, David. Well done. And now the game show that's sweeping the nation. What time did Rick DiPietro go to bed last night? How the game works? It is similar to The Price is Right. Each contestant will guess. If you guessed over, you are wrong.
Dave, we both guessed over yesterday, so Dave, nobody won. We're 1-1.
Yeah, Dave has won 1, Chris has won 1. Yesterday, no one won. So we'll start today. Since Chris is the one who won most recently, Chris, you get the decision. Would you like to go first or second?
I am going to go first, and I am going to go with last night being a later night for you, so I am going to pick 8:27 p.m. as Rick's bedtime.
Wow. I don't know what would lead him to think it would be that late. All right, in true Price is Right fashion, I'm going to say he went to bed at 1 p.m.
This is not fair. This is not. I mean, come on.
What?
You can't bet $1. Stop.
It's the Price is Right music. You just read the rules as if it is the Price is Right. All right, fine. You want me to go somewhere more reasonable? I'll say you went to bed at 7 o'clock last night.
7 o'clock, pretty close. 7 o'clock, pretty close. Was a late night, Chris. Not that late. I mean, you're talking. We get into the 8 o'clock. So that's like a rager for me. 7:42. 7:42.
That's right.
7:42 last night. And I did wake up numerous times to go to the bathroom last night. So that was terrible. All right, here we go. Let's start off with some good
news. Hang on a minute. So that's a win for me.
That's a win for Dave.
It's 2-1, and I have honors tomorrow.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct. You have a chance. Yeah, I mean, you have a chance tomorrow to wrap up the week.
Okay.
Chance tomorrow to wrap up the week. I could get frisky tonight. I don't know. It's a Wednesday. It is a hump day. I could get frisky. Cass did just get the Charmin Ultra Soft, so who knows what's going to happen.
Well,
who knows?
We hope and pray.
Let's start off with some good news. Good news is that I'm hoping Dave watched it last night. Did you watch the boxing last night?
I saw the highlights of it. I didn't watch it live.
Our guy, Shakur Stevenson, big win last
night.
Good. Domination. Complete domination. I mean, it just cut this poor guy down. I mean, I actually felt bad. I mean, body shot after. Ugh. This guy is good,
He's so technically sound, man. It's unbelievable. He really is. He remind you of a young Floyd Mayweather.
It's terrific.
You can't hit him. I mean, the guy couldn't hit him.
Nope.
Southpaw, and then you had Guido. I'm starting to like the name Guido. I don't know. I could be swayed in each star. Italian heavyweight. Big win by him. Did you guys see this Michael Jordan? I mean, of course, he's the greatest of all time. Did you see that he caught a 442-pound marlin at the fishing tournament?
Which did not win, by the way.
Well, he's still got a couple days. I mean, this is.
Oh, this is ongoing.
Yeah, currently he's not in the money. The leading blue marlin weighed in at 494.2 pounds. That's a big fish.
500-pound fish?
500-pound marlin, yeah. Have you ever seen the videos of the people reeling in, like when it goes completely wrong and the marlin jumps in the boat and stabs the guy?
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's scary.
Yeah. That's scary stuff.
Yeah. How about the swordfish?
It's crazy. I mean, are you a swordfish guy? I'm not a big swordfish fan.
I love
fan.
Swordfish. Oh, ugh. Very tasty fish. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. Here we go. Let's start with, did this happen in Florida? Man is facing felony charges after police said he let his 12-year-old girl drive his SUV and told her to speed because he wanted to be a cool dad. Here's the problem, though. He's not her dad.
Who is he?
All right.
He is the girl's mother's boyfriend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's 41
years
old.
How fast they were going?
They were going. The Jeep was actually spotted making an illegal U-turn around 12:10 a.m. Monday. Jeep was followed, reached speeds of 85 miles an hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone.
Wow.
And it was pulled over.
And she was 12.
Yep. The cop asked the 12-year-old girl why she was driving so fast. She said because
my dad told her.
Because her Fugazi dad told her to. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Here's the thing. Pretending to be a father when you're not a father sounds very Floridian to me. I'm going to say yes, Florida.
Interesting. I'm going to say not Florida just because I don't think it's frowned upon to let 12-year-olds drive cars down there. I mean, especially I don't think this is one of those stories that happened in a southern state.
No.
So I'm going to say not Florida.
Especially when you tell the officer that you've been drinking.
What?
He told the officer that he'd been drinking.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Now,
I feel even better.
Now it's different. Now it's a party. Now it's a little different.
I want to be cool, and to be honest with you, I was I was drinking.
Okay, so now I'm on board with Dave might have been saying.
Welcome.
This could have happened in Florida,
welcome,
in fact.
Yes. Santiago, Florida.
Yeah, I was drinking, puts it over the top. This is definitely Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't have given you guys that nugget. That was absolutely Florida. That's Jupiter, Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to tell us the whole story now.
Yeah, you're not painting
the proper
picture.
You can't leave out those details.
Yeah, I probably could also mention that he's being charged with child neglect, allowing an unauthorized person to drive and causing a minor to become a delinquent for buying the girl's vape pens.
Oh, God. Well, he'll do anything. He bought the vape pens. She drives at 12. Don't just drive, speed. Go crazy.
He'll be back out next week.
The question is, why is the mother dating him?
Well, it's Florida. He said.
I just want to be the cool fake dad. That's what I want to be. Just the Uncle Jesse. Have you seen this story that Chris Cuomo was caught naked in his wife's yoga video?
No.
You didn't see this yet?
No.
So the video was deleted, but people obviously screenshotted it. So his wife was doing...
He was just like walking by?
No, outside. What's crazy about this is you got to Google the picture. His wife is doing a live yoga class, streaming a live yoga class.
Now, she's running it or she's participating in it?
She's running it.
Oh, God.
She's running the class. and then behind her, as she's doing a yoga pose, you can see outside the back of Cuomo, and he's completely naked.
Didn't we have a story like this a couple of months ago where there was a broadcast on a local news station out west?
Yes.
And the lady's husband was caught getting out of the shower.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had that. Yes. Lady out of the shower. We also had one guy was doing a report where like his mistress walked out of the bedroom naked. We had the mother that walked during her kid's Zoom.
Don't they have children?
Listen, I don't know why he was outside. You'd have to ask him why he was outside naked.
Well, I mean, it's very strange. Like, the guy coming out of the shower, that's not strange. It's strange that she's doing the broadcast from the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
But when was the last time you walked outside fully naked?
Yesterday?
I don't know. I mean, probably a lot sooner than you, a lot more recent
you
than
question.
You would expect.
But I think that the common person is not leaving their home naked.
We're exactly right. I mean, especially if you kind of have the idea that maybe what the hell's my wife doing in the living room? Oh yeah, she's
right.
Instagram living a yoga video.
Right, she's doing that downward dog, and maybe I don't go outside naked.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, that would probably be a thought that goes through your mind. Maybe she doesn't want tan lines. I can understand that.
Yeah, clearly.
this next story. I'm not even going to put this as did this happen in Florida because I need you guys to see this video. You guys need to Google immediately. Girl attempts to rescue squirrel from pool.
Oh, God.
This is why you can't trust squirrels or chipmunks for that matter.
Attempts.
This poor girl goes into a kid's inflatable pool because there's a squirrel swimming, like, stuck in the pool. So she goes in trying to help out this poor squirrel, uses a chair, finally gets the squirrel onto the chair, and then rather than jump off the chair out of the pool, the squirrel turns back and jumps right at this girl's face. And lands on her.
But that's not a surprise.
Right,
I mean, it's honestly, I look at her as almost not the victim here.
Well, she's trying to help the squirrel. She's not just trying to,
This is a wild animal. You can't mess around with these things.
I mean, you're trying to save its life. It doesn't recognize that you're trying to save its life.
So you know what? You use some kind of like a pool extension or something to kind of scoop it out and throw it in the other direction.
Well, it was an inflatable
pool. You can just turn it over.
Exactly.
She's not listening. I mean, this is better than putting the inflatable pool on still inflated on your roof of your car.
I'm watching the video right now. She's screaming at the squirrel. I'm saving you. I'm saving you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The squirrel jumps on her. She freaks out, jumps out of the pool crying, Chris, and runs into the house.
I'm watching it, Dave. It's hilarious.
And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, did the squirrel wind up back in the pool when it was all set
back
done?
Back in the pool.
Yes.
Back in the pool.
Yes. That's unbelievable.
This is why you can't trust these animals.
What did you think was going to happen?
The squirrel was going to jump. I mean, it can't be. Is it that stupid? It can't just jump off the chair out of the pool. It's got to backtrack and jump into your face.
From the squirrel's point of view, she's minding her own business at the pool while this girl's shoving a chair in her face, and they are aggressive.
You think the squirrel was just the squirrel was not like just it wasn't the lazy river where the squirrel was just in for a quick swim. It was stuck in the pool.
I knew exactly what was going to happen when I saw that video.
Of course,
exactly.
And Chris is right.
That video
How about just jumping the pool, just turning it over?
Just turn the pool over,
and
man.
Turn it over, run in the house, watch the squirrel get out, all done. Thank you. Use a chair.
Yeah, but, I mean, now you have to refill the pool.
Really hope she got a tetanus shot.
Refill
after
the
that.
Pool? There's like two buckets of water in the thing.
Well, maybe that water was warm and now it's going to be cold. You never know.
Yeah.
She's trying to
well,
do the
now
right
she's
thing.
Been bitten by a squirrel in the face, so enjoy your shots in the stomach.
Welcome to my world. Here we go. Before we get out of the segment, I'm not sure if you guys have seen this or not, but I wanted to make sure that you have. New York City Health Department, have you seen their updated guidance on how to practice safe sex during the coronavirus pandemic?
No.
I actually suggest New Yorkers should kiss boring bedroom behavior goodbye. They actually say make it a little kinky. Be creative with positions and physical barriers, like walls that allow contact while preventing close face-to-face contact. Maybe it's your thing, maybe
what?
It's not.
Wow.
This is legit. Wow. I'm reading this out of the post. Maybe it's your thing, maybe it's not. But during COVID-19, wearing a mask covering that covers your nose and mouth is a good way and an extra layer of protection.
Peekaboo.
You should try that.
In the bedroom. All right.
Also says, make sure you use open, large, and well-ventilated spaces for group sex, just in case you were thinking about that.
Yeah, that's COVID's getting in the way of all that. And there you have it. Another edition of Nobservations.
Nobservations.
Very well done. You had a good day today.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you had a very, very, very good day. Rick, I think you'll be – I'm very upset with this. I know you will be as well. You could argue the greatest tennis player in the history of the game underwent arthroscopic knee surgery on his right knee, says he will not be back for the entirety of 2020. Roger Federer, at the earliest, will be back in 2021. So that kind of stinks from if we see tennis standpoint.
Yeah, it stinks. Apparently he had a setback. I mean, initially he was just supposed to miss the clay court season.
Yep.
And now, yeah, and then on top of that, who knows what's going to happen with, I mean, there's been some talk that that Nadal and Djokovic won't be back for the U.S. Open.
Right. If they even play the U.S. Open. So if you don't have Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer, oof.
Now someone have a chance to win.
I guess one of the other participants will actually have a chance. And Chris, this for you. Bookmaker.eu has the latest up-to-date odds on the potential NBA champions. Your Lakers are the favorites right now at 2-1, followed by, what do you think?
I'm going to say the Clippers.
No, Bucks are 5-2, Clippers 3-1, and then you go from 3-1 to 13-1. The fourth favorite to win is surprising.
The fourth favorite to win. Who is it, Dave?
The Boston Celtics are fourth.
Interesting. Okay.
Followed by the Rockets at 15-1, Raptors 19-1, 76ers at 27-1, Nuggets at 30-1, Jazz 40-1, and so forth. And so on.
Okay.
Down the list. So your Lakers, the favorites at 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, they have two top seven players in the NBA right now. So, yeah.
All right, there you have it. So we'll be back, of course, tomorrow morning, 9:55. Rick, I mean, a terrific job. I can't accentuate enough what a sensational job you did today. Really, Nobservations was on point. CMT was on point. You know, I beat you on Monday because I thought it was lousy, but today was excellent.
I appreciate that. Just push me to do better. Luckily for me, I had plenty of sleep last night.
Good. Well, you went to bed at 7:36, so odds are that's gonna happen.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.